Hi everyone! Welcome to How Did You Gain a Testimony? I interview all different kinds of people to figure out how they gained a testimony in hopes that you can relate to one of them and find comfort in their journey. Finding Jesus Christ is different for everyone, and I hope all these different stories can help you. Today I interview Caitlin Marie. She is one of my dearest friends, and I don't know if she totally knows it, but she's been a huge spiritual inspiration to me. She's just one of those people who constantly conducts themselves as if the Savior stood beside them. In this episode, she talks about how the foundation of her testimony was built on the example of her faithful and fervent parents and reinforced by a safe church environment of church friends who held the same standards as her. Caitlin talks about how moving from this safe environment to college didn't shake her testimony but made it more difficult for her to live the same gospel-centered life as before. However, as she began to prepare for a mission in the height of COVID, she found herself growing closer to the Lord and achieving a better understanding of Jesus Christ's atonement. Caitlin explains the lessons she learned on the mission and the struggles of coming home from a mission. She just touches on so many great gospel topics. I love this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode too. Hey everyone, I'm here with my friend Caitlin Murray. Caitlin, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello everyone. Yeah, I'm Caitlin Murray. I live in Provo right now. I'm Amelia's best friend. And I go to UVU for school. I'm working at an autism clinic, and that's me.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, are you ready to just kind of jump right in?
Yeah.
So do you want to tell me a little bit about your life growing up, like your childhood, and what part the gospel played in that?
Yeah, for sure. I grew up a member of the church. My family is super active, and so church was always a part of my life. And I'm super blessed to have extended family that also is all active. And so growing up, that was just like, that was life, you know, going to church every Sunday, going to activities, things like that. And I would say I had a testimony of, like, who Jesus was. And I did a lot of the things that you do, like, say, prayers, scripture study. I would do all of, like, the primary booklets and young women booklets and things like that. But I never really had, like, a super strong personal testimony growing up.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
How did your parents' testimony and their membership in the church impact your own idea of the church when you were younger?
Oh, it was super big. I think that's the main reason why I did have a testimony, was because they had a testimony. And I'm super grateful for their example, because, like, my dad, he would read scriptures at the kitchen table every morning, and I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I need to be doing, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, they were always just, like, super faithful and serving in the ward and would do anything that they were asked, and I really admired that about my parents. Mm-hmm. So their testimony was the foundation of my testimony growing up.
Yeah. And speaking of, like, membership in the ward, how did having... Well, what was your ward community like, and how did that impact your testimony?
My ward was the best. Like, all of my friends were in my ward. And that's probably why I liked going to church so much, is because all my friends were there, and I just got to hang out with them. Yeah, like, growing up in primary, I don't remember it as much, but I do remember that some of my best friends that I would go to school with were also in my primary class. And then when I got into middle school and high school, my, like, main friend group was part of the church. And so that was another aspect that probably kept me coming to church, was just friends, and that it was so much fun to be able to go to church and go to the activities because all my friends were there.
Yeah. So you have this, what sounds like a really great, faithful friend group.
Yeah.
Did that change at all when you got to high school and people start kind of going their own ways?
A little bit, yeah. I saw that with some of the decisions my friends would make. But I kind of just, I don't know, I was always, like, I always knew what was right and what was wrong. Mm. And some of my friends would choose things and I'd be like, yeah, I'm not gonna, like, participate in that, but I can still be their friend. And so I would hang out with them. I could definitely see, like, some of the influence making an effect on me. But also I was like, I'm in high school, like, I should be able to do fun things and not really have to worry. Mm-hmm. But I think in the back of my head, because of the way my parents raised me, it was kind of like a hard balance to find.
Yeah.
But I was super grateful to have my closest friends as part of the church, because we would talk about our testimonies so much. Like, we'd get together and it'd be like, oh my gosh, like, they're so cool. They have the strongest testimonies. And, like, I just want to be able to get there one day. Because even though I lived the gospel, I feel like I didn't really have that personal of a testimony.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting that you, I mean, you had this clear definition of what's right and what's wrong. And I think a lot of people do have that. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you keep yourself from choosing what's wrong anyways in order to, like, fit in or, like, because it seemed fun at the moment?
That's a good question. I don't think I ever saw those things as fun. Mm. And all of my friends that were non-members really respected us as members.
Yeah.
And that helped me a lot because I was like, oh, they see us as, like, these really cool people and not like, oh my gosh, you're a member of the church.
Yeah.
They just saw us as normal people that were super cool, that didn't drink or that didn't do other things. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if that really affected me.
Yeah. No, I think that's super interesting to think about, that you just didn't find that stuff appealing.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of what you were saying earlier about, like, your parents' example and how their testimonies affected you.
Yeah, that's for sure a big part of it.
So that's super interesting. How did the youth program and Young Women's impact your testimony or help it grow?
I loved Young Women's, and all the leaders, like, became my best friends. Shout out to Marla Goode and Amy Sima and all those fun people. I think that's kind of where I started to gain a testimony. I remember doing personal progress and, like, having the challenge to read the Book of Mormon all the way through for the first time. And we did, like, this Book of Mormon camp where we went over to somebody's house and read for, like, 5 hours. And then the next day we'd come back over and read, like, for this many hours. And it kind of just, like, got a head start to our Book of Mormon reading.
Yeah.
And I had never really read the Book of Mormon, like, as a whole before. And so doing that for the first time, I was like, I just kind of felt accomplished. Mm. I don't really remember feeling like, oh my gosh, this is true. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really ever got that confirmation growing up. But I knew that it was a good thing, so I kept reading it, I guess. Yeah.
That's so cool about the camp, too, because that gets you past, like, first and second Nephi. And so you're like, okay, I'm a you're good way through this. Uh-huh. That is so,
yeah,
that's genius.
Oh, and also, like, EFY camps. Mm. I think the first time where I was like, oh, this is, like, my personal spiritual experience was when I went to Palmyra EFY after my junior year, I think. And we got to spend a lot of time in the Sacred Grove, like, doing morning scripture study, and we went to the temple and a lot of other historical sites, and I don't know, just that experience as a whole was, like, very peaceful. And so that was kind of where I first started to be like, okay, Joseph Smith really is a true prophet, and, like, he totally saw Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father and things like that.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. When, this might be kind of a weird question, but when did you start taking the church seriously? Like, when were you like, oh, this is, like, first of all, my own decision to do this, and also this is, like, a matter of salvation to me?
Probably summer after junior year when I went to EFY. I think I kind of had that mentality the whole time, but my testimony is, like, so gradual that it's kind of hard to, like,
pinpoint a
go
moment.
Back and think, okay, this time.
Yeah.
Because as my testimony's grown just the last, like, 4 years after graduating, it's changed so much that even when I look back in high school, it's like, did I really have a testimony or was I just doing the things?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I bet it is hard to look back, especially when it's changed, like you said. So, let's move on from high school then.
Okay.
How, there's usually a pretty big, maturing that happens when you graduate high school, you go to college. How did you pick what college you were going to, and then how did your testimony change from that experience?
Yeah, so I wanted to go to college in Utah. All my family's from Utah. Wanted to be around my extended family. And I wanted to also move away from home and have that experience. So basically it came down to which school was going to be the cheapest for me.
Yeah.
and BYU wasn't really an option because I didn't want to try that hard in school. And so I applied to Utah State, and that was the only school I applied to, and I got in, and my dad graduated from there, so it got me the scholarship, and it worked out great. So I move up to college, and having the time of my life the first few weeks. Yeah, college was super fun, but the bad part was that none of my roommates really were super active in the church. There were like two of us that would go to church, and their families were
out of like how many?
Out of 8 roommates.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, 7 roommates, 8 including me.
Okay.
Yeah. And my roommate that I got closest to, she's like still one of my best friends, but she wasn't active. And she said she wasn't a member anymore. And so just like that influence being around people that weren't like going to church every week or like reading their scriptures every day really was bad for me. Mm-hmm. Because I probably went to church like maybe once a month in college. Like I never went to church. I barely read my scriptures. I remember listening to conference, the first conference that I was in college, and I just fell asleep. Like, I didn't go watch it with anyone, I just was like, oh, I'll watch it in my dorm. And, yeah, that was a bad idea, because I just fell asleep. Yeah, I just wasn't trying very hard at that time, which was interesting, because I knew I was going to serve a mission.
Really?
But that... And for some reason, that just didn't click in my brain that I should be doing all these things.
Yeah.
And so, like, living on my own really tested and tried me of, like, do you actually believe this is true, or were you just doing this for your family?
Yeah. So, did you experience, like, when you weren't, like, going to church, you weren't reading your scriptures, were you like, oh, I feel guilty about not doing this, like, oh, I should do this more, or were you just like, oh, it's fine, no one else is doing it? Like, what was your mentality surrounding that?
I probably felt a little guilty, but most of the time it was just like, nobody else is doing it. Which is so bad.
That's so funny. Do you think that, like, such a big reason why it was easy for you to stay active in the church in high school was that environment of, like, I have these close friends in the church, and I have my family who's in the church.
For sure. I hated going to church in college.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anyone to go with. And it was also at 8 a.m. And so that was the worst. I just never wanted to wake up to go.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, my roommate never woke up to go. And so, like, sometimes I would purposely talk to my other roommates and be like, okay, who's going to come to church with me, you know? And sometimes it would work out. But, and then my brother moved into my ward second semester. And so that helped me because he was going to church. And so I was like, okay, now I have someone to go with. So that's kind of where it improved. And then also I was working on my mission papers at that time. And so I was like, okay, we got to figure some stuff out. We got to find a system.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you decided to go on a mission. Where did that desire start?
Oh, from when I was little.
Really?
I always knew I was going to go on a mission. And I think it's because my mom went on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she just... Her and my dad always talked about their missions. And so I was like, yep, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always knew that I was going to go.
And that, like, you never really questioned it? Like, you were just kind of like, oh, I just want to do this?
Yeah, I never questioned it. Uh-huh. I did question when to go.
Okay.
But never if I should go.
What about it seemed so appealing to you?
I just realized how grateful and blessed I was that the gospel was a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if people can, like, have this a part of their life because of me, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, I had a whole community and a whole family in Texas where my family, where my, like, actual family doesn't live because of the church. And all of, everything that was blessing my life at that time was because of the church and because of the gospel. And so I knew, I was like, this is the best thing ever. And yeah. I want people to have the same community that I got to have when I was growing up.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what was, like, the process of, like, actually starting that desire? Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I'm gonna go on a mission, and then, like, it's another thing to be like, okay, I'm opening my mission papers and I'm starting this process.
Yeah. I don't know if I really thought much about it.
That's fair.
Amelia knows that I don't think through things a lot. I just do them. Yeah, I don't know.
You just were living?
Just living.
That makes sense. So how did you feel preparing for a mission? Did you do anything specifically to prepare, other than going back to church?
Yeah, I went back to church and definitely started reading my scriptures more. A big part of what I tried to do was journaling.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me a lot, just, like, kind of talking through feelings and stuff. At that time, I was taking really hard classes, and that was spring semester of 2020. And I remember going on this trip with my roommate to Arizona, and she had the sister missionaries living with her, and one of them was from Utah, and I remember meeting her for the first time and be like, oh, that could totally be me. Like, this girl living in Utah goes to Arizona. That was, like, my first thought.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then I went back to Utah and spent a little bit of time with my family because I had flown up to Utah. And then I drove back to college a few days after. And, like, the next day, I called my mom sobbing. I was just, like, having so much anxiety and, like, I don't even know what it was, really. But just the thought of, like, going back to school and, like, taking all these hard tests and everything, like, overwhelmed me to the max. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to cope with everything.
Yeah.
Literally the next week, COVID hit. And I got to go home.
Yeah.
And I got to do classes online. And that was the biggest blessing. I always joke that COVID happened because of me. Because I don't know if I would have survived the last little bit of that semester if COVID hadn't happened. And so with COVID, I got to be with my family. I got to be with not just my immediate family, but a lot of my cousins and my grandma. And that was, like, so much fun. And I feel like I had a lot more free time. And so I started reading the scriptures more and, like, really studying and preparing for a mission.
Yeah.
And I actually got my mission call the day after I got sent home from college to Arizona.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And so then I was just on a high. I was like, I get to be around people I love. I get to do school whenever I feel like I can. And I am going to go to Arizona on my mission. Like, this is the best thing ever. So, yeah.
That's so perfect for you. And how did, like, how did getting your call and, like, knowing you were going to go teach the people of Arizona, of Gilbert, Arizona,
yeah.
like, affect the whole, like, mentality of it?
I was so excited about Arizona. Right before I opened my call, I was always thinking, especially after meeting that one sister in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
I was always thinking I would go, like, stateside or something. And then, like, just a few minutes before I opened my call, I was like, what am I thinking? I can go anywhere in the world! And then I opened it, and it was, like, Gilbert, Arizona. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I knew.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Heavenly Father, I knew that. But, yeah, I was just excited to go and excited to try something new that I've been waiting my whole life to do, because I knew from the time I was, like, 5 that I was going to serve mission.
Yeah.
And I was so excited that it was finally the time to go.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you do home MTC, like,
yes.
at that time? How was home MTC?
Home MTC was fun. I really liked being with my family.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like that's kind of where my testimony, like, my personal witness of the Atonement started. Because I remember it was, like, 3 days before I was leaving for Arizona. I had done these 3 weeks of online MTC. And, learning a bunch of new stuff, learning how to teach the gospel, and, like, just, like, talking through things. And there was this one lesson on the Atonement, and we were supposed to, like, bear testimony of the Atonement and teach it to one of the other missionaries. And I was like, gosh, I don't know if I have a personal testimony of the Atonement. Like, growing up, I had heard all of my friends' stories about these terrible things that had happened to them or that they had done, and the way that God has forgiven them through that. And I was like, I don't know if I've really had anything that hard in my life, you know? Like, college wasn't the best time for me, but I don't think there, like, I had ever used the Atonement for myself before.
Mm.
And so I met with one of my MTC teachers, and I was like, yeah, I just, can you help me understand the Atonement a little more? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I really get that. Because the Atonement as a whole is, like, so mind-boggling.
Such,
like,
an intricate concept.
How can that literally happen?
Yeah.
You know? And I always knew that Christ lived and died for us. You know, all those basic things. Like, I was grateful that my parents taught me so much about Jesus, because that foundation kind of helped me understand what the Atonement was. But I had never used the Atonement before.
Mm.
And so I had that talk with my MTC teacher. And then maybe it was later that day or the next day, me and my mom were talking. And I remember her saying, like, I'm just so excited for you to leave and, like, be on your own. And I was like, Mom, you want me to leave? Anyway, it was this whole big thing. And I was just, like, emotional and, like, scared to leave and all these things. Anyway, me and my mom ended up talking for a long time, and I realized that there were a lot of things that I should have been repenting for in my life.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually perfect, because this is God giving me an opportunity to finally use the Atonement. And so that night I went and prayed and wrote in my journal and all these things. And I was like, whoa, like, this is cool. Like, this is the Atonement. Like, it was just little things building up. It was never a big mistake that I had made or something that someone had done to me in any way. It was just my way of living, and I realized that I could be living a lot happier and a lot better. And so I finally was able to use the Atonement in my life, and I was like, this is incredible.
That's such a good feeling.
Yeah. And so that was just, like, a day or two before I left to go into the field.
Dang.
Finally figuring out what the Atonement was.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
And then what was it like to start your mission?
Oh my gosh, the first day. The worst day ever. My trainer was awesome. She was the nicest person ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to leave. Like, after I'd, like, pour my heart out to my mom, I was like, wait, Mom, I love you. And I remember going to the airport and sobbing. And when I finally got to call them my first day, I was like, hey, Mom and Dad. And they're like, how are you? Broke down crying. I was like, I hate it here. I don't want to be here. They're like, just take a nap and get some food and you'll be fine. And I did that and I was fine. The first week, first like few weeks, I was just having so much fun.
Really?
Like learning a lot, being a little uncomfortable teaching because I was like, oh, I still don't know anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. And it was so much fun to finally be out there teaching people. And I was blessed with a great area that was, had two people that were really close to baptism. Mm-hmm. And so just like hearing the kind of the end and seeing the end of their conversion story was really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dang, what a blessing.
Yep.
And then how did your testimony change throughout your mission?
Changed a lot. I always say that the first 6 months of my mission was just some fun times. I unfortunately lived with some sisters that were not obedient and ended up getting sent home. And I was a new missionary. My trainer left me after 6 weeks, and so me and this other sister that had been out only for 6 weeks were training each other.
Oh, gosh.
With these other two sisters that were not super obedient. and that was a big influence on us, because we were like, oh, they know the way of missionary work.
Yeah.
And so we kind of leaned into that, and it was not good. But after 6 months, I got transferred. And I ended up being companions with, Sister Radichelle. She's still one of my best friends. and I remember, doing personal study with her, and, we would come out of personal study and be like, hey, what'd you learn? And I'd be like, oh, this scripture was cool and this scripture was cool, you know? And I'd kind of just summarize my personal study, and I'd be like, what'd you learn? And she would go on this long tangent of these incredible things that she learned just from like one verse of scripture. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, how did she even get there? Like, what even did she read, or did she like look up to even find that out? Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like amazed at how much she was learning in an hour of studying the scriptures. And I was like, huh. So I remember, like, trying so hard in personal study, I'd be like, okay, what am I going to share with her? Because I gotta seem cool.
Yeah.
I gotta seem like I know what I'm doing. And that was kind of where I was like, okay, I really need to, like, read the Book of Mormon and figure out what this book is about. And that same time, this member in our ward had told us, like, 3 or 4 times to read the Book of Mormon for someone else. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that after I figure out what the Book of Mormon is for myself, you know? And then I just decided, I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just read the Book of Mormon for my brother, Jonathan. That was my idea. He was in high school still, and so I was like, maybe I'll just read it and really try to read it for myself and him at the same time. And that was the coolest experience ever. I would read the Book of Mormon, and sometimes I would, well, some days I would read it for myself, and then some days I'd read it for him. And before I read it for him, I would pray to know what I should mark, so that he could, like, learn things and see things that he needed to. And I look at the Book of Mormon side by side sometimes, and everything that I highlighted in my own is completely different than what I highlighted in his.
And
that's, I was like, crazy. Whoa. And so that's when I gained my testimony that the Book of Mormon is so individual. Mm. Like, it is the same text. You can read the same exact words, no matter who you are. But the way it makes you feel and the things that you learn from it are completely different because of the Spirit. And so that's when I really gained a testimony of the Book of Mormon and the power that it had. Because some other people in my life influenced me to read that Book of Mormon for my brother and to really try to figure out how to learn from the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. That's such a cool experience. Mm-hmm.
I think just over time, there were little focuses of what I needed to work on. So 6 months in, that was the Book of Mormon. I think the last little part of my mission was a lot of, like, the spirit, because it's really hard as a missionary to realize what you're thinking of is different than what the spirit is thinking of. And a year into my mission, I realized, I was like, you know what, every good thing that comes into my mind, I'm just gonna do it. Like, we're just gonna do it. Yeah. And I had some hard transfers at the end of my mission, but the spirit really helped to, like, confirm that idea that any good thing is good. Yeah. And it might come from you, it might come through the spirit to you, it might be directly from God. Like, there's so many ways that the spirit works, and a lot of the times it is through our ideas, and so figuring that out really helped me. Yeah.
That's so cool. Dang, it's so cool that you had those specific kind of, like, learning moments on your mission.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to come home from your mission?
Oh, it was the worst. I said it was the worst to go on the mission, too. But it was way, way harder to come home. I didn't really want to come home at all.
Mm-hmm.
I came home in the middle, or the end of January. I could have come home to go to school in January, but I was like, no. I want to stay out here as long as possible. And so, coming home, I didn't have any plans, didn't know where I was going to go to college, didn't know what I was going to do for work. I was literally just at home.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my friends were either in Utah or away at college in Texas, like, a few hours, so there was no one to hang out with.
Yeah.
And I just remember coming home and being like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I took off my name tag, I remember literally feeling the spirit, like, leave. And I know nothing changed about me, but it was just like, whoa, like, that's that part of me and that companion, that level of companionship of the spirit is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I still have the spirit with me, but it's just a different level when you're a missionary.
Yeah.
And so trying to figure out a balance between that was really hard. I was able to get a calling, like, the week I came home to teach seminary, and that was really fun. It helped me keep up with my scripture study and teaching people and bearing my testimony, and so I did that for, like, 4 months. I also started working in the temple as an ordinance worker, and that was another big blessing, just another way to, like, build on my testimony. Because the temple was never a part of my life before the mission, because I didn't go through the temple until I was a missionary in Arizona. So I'd only been to the temple 3 times on the mission. And then I got home and I was like, okay, I need to learn more about the temple. So that was exciting, mm-hmm. because it was something new to learn about.
Yeah.
But I was home, I finally got a job, and that helped a lot. It was just weird being home with family and trying to figure out how to still be excited and have a purpose without being a missionary.
Yeah. How did you eventually find that, like, purpose? Was it, like, when you went to college, or?
Yeah. I think it was when I went to college, just realizing that there is still progress in life other than just your testimony.
Because
when I got home, my testimony was my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
It was the most precious to me, and I wanted to do everything to keep my testimony growing.
Yeah.
But then being home, it kind of is like a plateau. Obviously, you're still learning and still growing in different ways, but I don't see my testimony growing as much as fast as it did as on the mission. And so trying to, like, give myself grace, but also realizing that I can do better is a hard balance. And so having other purposes in life was really important, like going to school. Also the job I do, I work with kids with autism, and mm-hmm. it's helping them improve their life. And so that was another really good thing for me, because I was, like, still helping other people in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. I wanted to bring this up because we were talking about this the other day, and I think it's a super interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you keep from not comparing yourself to this, to who you were on the mission, where, like, your entire focus, your entire purpose is to grow your testimony and grow others' testimonies. So you're obviously devoting insane amounts of time and attention to that. Mm-hmm. Now you're here and you have all these other worries, like friends and family and school and all that stuff. And obviously still church is a priority in your life. We can tell by your rhetoric and all that stuff, but how do you keep from not, like, feeling guilty that you're not still a missionary?
Oh, it's so hard. And like I said earlier, the level of growth you have as a missionary is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen myself grow so much so fast.
Yeah.
And then you get home and it's just, it's a natural thing, but it just, it's not growing as fast.
Yeah.
I still struggle with comparing myself to my old self.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've really found a solution. I was actually talking to my friend the other day, and he said that his way of thinking of it is that on the mission you learn gospel principles and how to really live the gospel in a gospel-centered life.
Mm.
And then you get home, and you get to learn how to apply everything that you know to real life. And in real life circumstances. So that perspective has kind of helped. But yeah, it's still a struggle for me.
Yeah.
I read the Book of Mormon every night before I go to bed, even if it's literally just a verse.
Mm-hmm.
I try to read until I, like, learn something specifically about Jesus. So if it's, like, a war chapter in the Book of Mormon, I'll just be like, okay. Oh, Jesus, there you are. And I pray every night, but I still just, I don't know, it's so hard. Like, I want my prayers to be more sincere, I want them to be longer, but at the end of the day, it's just like, okay, wait, I gotta say a prayer before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm trying to figure that out. The biggest thing for me that has helped me with this is going to the temple. Like I said, I worked in the temple when I first got home, and I've tried to go to the temple every week or every other week since I've been home. And just the consistency of being in a place that is so dense in the spirit is, like, saves me some weeks. Because I'll be thinking, like, the worst about myself, and I'll be like, whoa, I just need to go to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to remember that I have a lot of things that I'm trying to do in my life. And I'm here at the temple trying to get answers from God. So it's a hard balance between, like, grace and, hey, you know, Caitlin, you can do better.
Yeah.
So still trying to figure that out, but the temple has been probably the biggest help for me.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
And I think it's so good, or it says so much about you, that you even still have that desire. Like, that you haven't let, I don't know, your imperfection, which we all are, like, weigh you down too mm-hmm. much. So, what advice would you give to somebody who is in a situation similar to you were in college, where they aren't surrounded by people who are motivating them to go to church and to grow their testimony, and they feel themselves kind of, like, slipping away from church?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, first of all, the importance of recognizing that, because I don't think I recognized how far I had, like, gone off the path in college until moving back with my family and being like, oh gosh, I need to change some things. So first of all, like, recognizing that and not being afraid to find new friends and find people that can be that light to you and that helped you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also I wish I wasn't so afraid to do things by myself. Mm. Like, sometimes it is impossible to find people that will go to church. And so, sometimes you just gotta do those things by yourself. And I think it would have been really beneficial for me to do that so that I could grow my testimony individually instead of just with my family or with my friends. Because individual testimony is what will stay with you when you are in hard times.
Yeah. What advice would you give to somebody who's gonna come home from a mission soon and is scared of, like, that plateau that you're talking about that's natural?
Just give yourself grace and find different opportunities to serve. Mm-hmm. Even if it is your own family or people in the church. I remember 2 weeks after coming home, I was talking with one of the stake presidents, and he was like, I had borne my testimony somewhere. I can't remember where. But he was like, can I just tell you how much your testimony helped me? Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, that's really cool. Like, someone who has lived the gospel so faithfully in their life and is serving so faithfully right now, more than I could even imagine to do coming home from a mission, I was still able to say something that helped him. Like, you can really help anyone with your testimony. And so I would say finding those opportunities to bear your testimony is super important. And sometimes I miss that now, being in a student ward and not always having those opportunities, because when I came home, teaching seminary gave me that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would just say look for ways and opportunities that you can bear your testimony still.
That's so cool. And then my last question is, what advice would you give to somebody who's struggling to gain a testimony?
I always say my testimony was built on the foundation of fake it till you make it. because I lived a lot of the gospel principles, but I don't know if I really had a super strong testimony of those gospel principles. Mm. But the consistency of those things helped me eventually gain a testimony.
Yeah.
And obviously surrounding myself with people that did impact me and influence me to be better. Read the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is the best book ever. And don't just read it, like, study it.
Yeah.
The thing that really helped me to actually learn with the Book of Mormon is the Institute Manual. Big shout out to the Institute Manual.
Dang.
My friend Noelle showed me it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Because just reading the Book of Mormon sometimes, I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this, but you'll be reading and you're like, whoa, 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 what did I just read? Like, yeah. I've been reading for 10 minutes. I don't recall a single thing. And so just figuring out how to study the Book of Mormon is super important, because that's what will influence you. And it's incredible how personalized the Book of Mormon is.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I think your story and your advice is going to help a lot of people.
Thank you.
I felt the spirit in this conversation a ton. I hope that the people listening felt it. But yeah, thank you so much for being vulnerable. Thank you guys so much for listening to that episode. I'm so grateful. Me and Caitlin got to briefly touch on that idea of perfectionism and of feeling guilty for not being at your spiritual height. I mean, I've definitely been there. I'm sure a lot of you guys have been there too. So I invite you all to try to find that grace with yourself. Be grateful for the progress you have made and the commitments and covenants you are keeping with the Lord. I also always think talking all those feelings out with a close friend is super helpful. I hope you guys listen and follow Caitlin's advice. For updates on when new episodes come out, follow the podcast Instagram @gain_testimony and email or DM me for any suggestions or ideas. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.